don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome back to the Cryptoconomy Podcast. I got a short one here that I've been sitting on for quite some time, and it's just been in my bookmarks, and I feel it's really relevant today. It's really short, but with the breaking through our recent support today, candles have not closed yet, but it's not looking the greatest for the Bitcoin price. So I thought I would hit one by, it's David C. Bennett. I'm not even sure this was on steemit.com, and it was posted 5 months ago, so it was when the price had dipped down to $10,000 and was, I think it was in the middle of going lower. This was, this was $10,000 just before it dumped all the way down to pretty much right where we are today. But this one is titled, ever so simply, I HODL. Like almost everybody I speak to these days about Bitcoin, I was a skeptic. I mean, I wasn't a hater, but like everybody else alive right now, I was born into a system of fiat money. So that's what I was convinced was money by the time I needed to know what money was. How could a digital thing be money? Since I'm a gamer for life, I had seen more than my fair share of, quote, digital economies crash within months of release. Back in the day, I used to play Ultima Online quite a bit, but there were many other games with a fair amount of development time given over to the creation of an in-game economy. All of these in-game economies were brought to their knees with what was usually a dupe hack, in which either the base currency gets duplicated and sends the currency into parabolic inflation, or high-value items, swords and such, being duplicated to the point where the item became ubiquitous, losing all value. How in the hell would Bitcoin be any different? I heard about Bitcoin around 2009 or so, and didn't buy any because I didn't know how, and like I have said, I wasn't convinced at all that Bitcoin wouldn't be duplicated in some fashion. And I ain't talking about the never-ending barrage of shitcoins. Even had I bought some at super low prices, I most likely would have got goxed along with everybody else because it takes quite some time to figure this stuff out. For example, why you need and how to use hardware wallets and cold storage. With that said, I finally entered the Bitcoin space during the summer of 2015. I was able to catch the very bottom of what I had come to know as the 15-month bear market. I used dollar cost averaging to continuously buy around $250 worth every month until the end of summer 2017, with a couple of large buys toward the end. The reason I finally jumped in was on the advice of a podcaster. He had said, quote, this stuff is here to stay and it will become ubiquitous, so you need to learn how to use it, end quote. It so happened that he began taking Bitcoin as payment to subscribe to his podcast support group, and I thought, what the hell? I got an account on Coinbase, hooked my bank account to it, and bought almost one full Bitcoin at $250. I immediately turned around and bought a subscription to his support group for 0.2 Bitcoin. 0.2 Bitcoin. It's the most expensive subscription to anything I have ever bought, but I wouldn't know that until much later. I also bought a video game, which has now turned into the single most expensive video game I have ever purchased. But again, I wouldn't know that until later. I didn't have a HODL mindset. I do now. So here I am staring into the abyss. That is my first bear market. I never had to go through the one that the old timers went through. Here is what is interesting, though. I think I might be more prepared for this bear market than even the old timers were because of the following. 1. I have seen every manner of 30% dip. I think we had 6 in 2017 alone. 2. I have seen Bitcoin attacked by governments again and again and again. 3. I have seen Bitcoin attacked from within, again, and again, and again. And 4. I am now watching as mainstream media jumps on the attack wagon. I could expand this list until the world looked level, but it would be beating a dead horse. Bitcoin has been, is being, and will be attacked by everything under the sun forever and ever. If you are thinking that a day will come when it won't be, then you do not have the HODL mindset. But here's the other thing. I'm also staring straight into some of the most fascinating technology development the human race has ever known. Most of that is occurring on Bitcoin. Not Ethereum, not Dogecoin. Don't get me wrong, I love the Doge, but it's not being actively developed. And not insert name of shitcoin here, but Bitcoin. It's mostly happening on Bitcoin. Schnorr, Mast, Lightning Network, Mimblewimble, and Bulletproofs. We are staring square in the face of the most cutting-edge technology ever seen, and it's happening on Bitcoin. We might be in a bear market, and we might see Bitcoin drop even more in price. I'm okay with that. When I finally did figure out that I'd pissed away thousands of dollars on a video game and a subscription, I wasn't mad, but I was embarrassed. I hadn't understood two of Bitcoin's value propositions at all. Why would I let go of something of which there will only ever be 21 million of for a transaction that I don't need immutability for? The government is not going to censor me purchasing a video game, and if they tried, then it must be a damned good one, and that's when I'd whip out good old Bitcoin, but not a single second before. I HODL because I can better see the future because of my past with Bitcoin. I HODL because no one truly knows where or how far this technology will go. I HODL not because I have a store of value, but because I have address space on the most innovative, decentralized technology the world has ever known. I HODL. I will be sure to link to the Steemit article. Again, that was titled I HODL by David C. Bennett. They do not seem very active on Steemit since then, and I could not find them on Twitter. So if anybody knows this person and they're still active somewhere and could link to them, that would be great. But I have been unable to source where they are now. So, but I think this is a really important thing to remember, because Bitcoin is sound money, and you can't take the debt culture short-term mindset and put it into a sound money economy and profit. The incentives are literally fundamentally different. When the government is manipulating, or the Federal Reserve, same difference, they're the same thing. If they are manipulating interest rates so that if they have to push interest rates down in order to incentivize people to take on debt that they wouldn't do otherwise, it is essentially forcing the economy or forcing the market to create avenues to profit off of debt and a short-term mindset where the market is painfully trying to incentivize the reverse direction, increase interest rates heavily so that people will save for the future. Because savings, I think there's such a huge hurdle. I think that's really one of the biggest barriers, is that the debt culture and the Keynesian mindset is so pervasive throughout pretty much the entire European Union, the US, the entire modern financial system is so centered around the Keynesian mindset and bad money, that I think that's our biggest hurdle, is to get people to understand the very principles needed to profit in a sound money economy. And people don't even know why a sound money is worthwhile. People think savings is bad for the economy. This is so, and I understand, like, nobody's even introduced to these ideas. Nobody even really stops and thinks about it for 10 minutes. But there is no real economic growth without savings. Like, what is the act of saving? Like, when people call it hoarding, I just want to, it sends chills. I just want to punch people. But I don't, because I'm nice. But Okay, so what is savings? What is quote-unquote hoarding money? Well, first, money is not a resource. Money is not useful for anything. It's a proxy for actual resources. Human labor is a resource. Capital is a resource. And I don't mean capital like, I mean capital like a machine or a warehouse or a oven. Like these things are capital resources that need to be used in order to create productivity. Money is just a way to allocate capital over time. So to hold money means that you are not consuming capital resources currently in the economy, leaving them available in the economy for someone else. So when the market is out of balance and interest rates are trying to rise to encourage people to save, that's specifically because there's not enough production in order to continue the current rate of consumption. So the act of manipulating those interest rates, pushing them lower, it's the equivalent of trying to get the economy to build 5 houses when we're sitting on 2 houses worth of wood. It's incentivizing us to think there are more resources than are available, which means we start 5 housing projects and everybody thinks, holy crap, we're so productive, look at GDP, all these numbers are going up, but then we run out of resources in the middle, and the only way to adjust is that either prices increase heavily because those 5 projects are then fighting over the 2 houses worth of wood, but eventually, no matter what happens, we're going to have to cancel 3 houses, and at the same time, the people who actually produced the 2 houses worth of wood now have to deal with higher prices, so their savings are being eaten by the imbalance. So the people who are actually producing are being punished at the benefit of the people who make empty promises. It's so dangerous to have a monetary system that is literally designed to do 2 things simultaneously. First, it rewards the people it incentivizes people to go into debt while simultaneously punishing the people who actually hold savings and who have actually produced the resources that are now going to be consumed by the debtors on projects that neither the market has been trying to incentivize nor is likely to actually be seen to completion. I mean, like, think about it. If you go back to the 50s and 60s, there was no such thing as zero down, 0% interest financing loans. Like, that shit didn't exist. You could not buy a house without putting a down payment. But for, like, 60, 70 years, they've just been, the Federal Reserve and the government together have just been continuously incentivizing more and more and demonizing savings. Now you're evil if you save. Holy crap. You're bad for the economy. And pushing interest rates lower, it's like, oh, they're 7%, 6%, 5%, 4%. They've been, for like, what, a decade? They've been practically between 0 and 0.5%. And some of the central banks in the European Union are literally trying to institute, some have instituted negative interest rates. It's mind-boggling that they think that this is going to continue working. That's absolutely awful. Like, we are going to be punished so bad for this. And it really sucks because people are going to lose their ass. There's so much, like, there's so many prices in the economy are completely propped up on a mountain of promises that just aren't there. Like, nobody's produced, nobody has saved this money. You think housing is going to stay like it is? We have just propped up a bubble with another bubble. And it's going to be really painful. And that's why HODL. Like, if you think this is a 3-month game, this is a 50-year game. All Bitcoin development aside, like, this is also just a hedge against the fallout from the 70-year debt bubble that has been built up in the legacy economy. And Bitcoin is one of the only uncorrelated hedges against that right now. So even if we don't look at the incredibly awesome state that Bitcoin is in at a fundamental level, if you just look at the legacy economy, there is nothing to be concerned about with the price of Bitcoin right now. It is literally going to be an economic revolution. Like, it doesn't, it, you know, people don't learn overnight, and people won't respond to their environment. They have to be beaten over the head with it like 4 or 5 times. They have to lose all of their money 3 times before they finally just, okay, I'm just going to buy, and I'm just going to hold it, and I'm going to have a savings account, and I'm going to prepare for the future. But so many people will have to be hurt by this, and it sucks. But unfortunately, people learn the hard way. They almost never learn the easy way. I learned the hard way. I lost my ass when I first got into Bitcoin. I FOMO'd so hard at the very peak of one of the first bubbles, and then I lost like 98%. I mean, I had like a, it was all my savings in the world. I mean, I was poor as crap back then. I'm a little bit better off today, thank God. But I was so poor, and I put every dollar that I had pretty much into Bitcoin, and then watched it just 98% just whoosh, just vanish out from underneath me in a matter of like 2 weeks. And oh God, it hurt so bad. But the bear markets, I've come to learn since then, the stress and the pain was so deep back then that, and I had realized very quickly that I had a very vague understanding. I didn't have a very good idea of what I had invested in. I had kind of invested in some libertarian pipe dream, really. It was this hopium of like, oh my God, Bitcoin's going to take over the world. It's sound money. And, the incentives seem to be right. This thing's going to live forever. And then it crashed, and I realized, it's like, holy crap, I just kind of took the vague idea of the Austrian theory of money, said that, ooh, Bitcoin is the answer. And I didn't really know anything about it. I couldn't explain how blocks are produced. I didn't understand the technology. So I just took all of that stress that I had from watching the price plummet, and I put it into reading and learning. And that's pretty much what I've done ever since. But during the bear markets is actually the best time to do that, because the signal-to-noise ratio gets so good. Like, during the hype bubbles, you're like the Twitter feed is a great example. The Twitter feed is just absolutely full of nonsense. You can't find good content. You have to filter through 50 idiots just to find the one guy who knows what he's talking about. And you have to do that 20 times to find a really good, solid article about something. The good stuff gets pushed to the back because somebody's just talking about how the price is going to double in a week, and everybody loves that. But the price is a distraction. The price is such an empty indicator. That's not entirely true, but it's a short-term indicator in regards of its relation to last month. It's just market sentiment. Like, there's no fundamentals of the network in March that dictate what the price is going to do in April. That's what next year is about. That's why we're going to go into another bull run eventually. But just because, I mean, if you see it, you look at all the news. Every time a good news item comes out during the bull run, Bitcoin price goes up. Every time a good news item comes out during bear market, price goes down. Like, it doesn't, those emotional sentiments, this is a broader market sentiment that just judges all these little moves. And you're just looking at TA. You're just looking at technical analysis and charts. And sometimes it's exciting, but most of the time it's just, is boring. It's not the good work being done. If you look at the fundamentals, if you look at what's happening with Bitcoin right now versus just 6 months ago, you look at the progress over our current bear market, and it's been unbelievable. The Lightning Network didn't exist in December. It wasn't out. We have so many Lightning clients now that are working. We have a bunch of new Lightning apps. Schnorr is right around the corner. There's more little updates and tidbits leaking out about that. Poelstra is talking about, I just recently saw him give a speech on scriptless scripts. Mimblewimble is still seeing work. We're going to start seeing these things become a reality in the next 4 or 5 months and actually hit the stage. We've got the new SigHash no input for L2, and that's the ELTOO protocol. That's so exciting, because if that gets soft forked in, thanks to SegWit, yes, we can soft fork it. If that gets soft forked in, it's going to make Lightning so much more efficient, and it's going to eliminate the problem of the faulty backups and like a node crash or whatever, resulting in a honest player with a technical malfunction look like a cheater on the Lightning network. Because that's pretty much the only way anybody lost money right now. Lightning is accidentally broadcasting a old state to the transaction, or to the channel, excuse me. But there's so much being built right now, and this is the good time. This is the time where you bunker down, try to be as productive as you can, and learn. And the Crypto Economy Podcast is a great place to do that. Learn about all the cool stuff happening in the Bitcoin space. And that's why I sort through all this stuff for you. It's pretty clear that I read a ton of crap. And hopefully I'm doing a good job of sorting out to get all the best stuff to you guys. And I hope you're enjoying the show. Please leave me feedback. I really do appreciate it. And providing value to somebody, because I would really like to have my show. That's the big thing. That's why I started doing this, is because I was like, man, damn it, I wish I don't have time to read all these freaking articles. I wish somebody would make the podcast. And what do you know? Here I am. So I've got a couple announcements coming soon. I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm excited about it. And we're getting close to episode 100. What is this, 96 now? I haven't even looked. I think it's 96. Shit, it might be 97. Oh, it's 97. We're on episode 97. We're so close. God, I have so much work to do. Okay. Well, I don't want to rant anymore. I just wanted to, because the price was down and crypto Twitter again was just so sad and depressing. And I'm just like, guys, come on. It's not that bad. Where this is barely a correction. We've been here before. Look 8 months down the road. Nothing is going to be worse than it is today. Not even the price. I don't even think the price will be worse in 8 months. And we could have a rather extended bear market, but there is so much development going on. And we're building the infrastructure now. We're getting new trading desks online. A lot of institutional money is building out their platforms and having them released. And this is the time when stuff hits market. And in 7-8 months, maybe a year, the whole space is going to look so much different. In the meantime, you know, hold them. That's what this game is. This is sound money. It's a long-term game. If anybody thinks Bitcoin is going to have less potential and a smaller market 1 year out, then they are not looking at what's actually happening. So don't let the price get you down. Don't focus on these intraday dips and, oh God, it's going to be lower next week. Don't cash out. Don't sell it. Just hold it. Just hold it. This isn't about a week-long game. This is long-term, man. We're building something serious here. Dollar cost averaging, man. Just keep putting savings in. Every paycheck, just put some into Bitcoin. All right, I'll stop. I'm done ranting. Good Lord, I've gone on forever. All right, guys. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at TheCryptoEconomy and Medium as well. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Please leave feedback for me. You know, tweet me out on Twitter. Let me know if you like the show or you think this rant was stupid and I was wrong about everything. I would love to hear why. And share it with literally everybody that exists. Not everybody in the crypto economy space. Share it with everyone that exists, because the debt money economy is in a bubble and it's going to go belly up soon, and they need to hear it more than anybody else. So, yeah, share it with the whole freaking world. All right, guys, I will catch you next time. Take it easy. We'll be right back.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.